Hello and welcome. This is Desiree Amondasir, and this is The Desiree Show. I'm so excited to be coming to you today with my very first episode, our inaugural episode, or pilot, if you will, for The Desiree Show. And today we're going to be discussing the topic of 2020 establishment and prosperity. So what I need you to do is, as you are tweeting and posting along with this podcast or with the replay, I want you to use the hashtag The Desiree Show. Also, I invite you to check out my blog at DesireeMondesir.com when you have a chance, as well as many of the other resources that I have there, including my newest release, which is an ebook called Otherworldly, an in-depth study of fantastical beings. So there is a lot of books there. There are some awesome resources and teleseminar replays you can download along with the outlines and diagrams and all of that. So be mindful of that. And also, if you haven't already, take a moment and listen to my trailer. That will give you a heads up about just the overall podcast itself and what I'm trying to do with it. So without further ado, let's get into today's topic, okay? So again, we're going to be discussing the word of the Lord for 2020. What is the biblical significance of 2020? Also, what is the numerical significance, if you will, of 2020? How is God speaking to his church through the Gregorian calendar? You know, it's funny because people will say, well, God can't speak through the Gregorian calendar. He only speaks through the Jewish calendar. Well, actually, he speaks through both. It's believed, and I learned this from Perry Stone, that when God is dealing with the Jewish people, then he speaks through the Jewish calendar. But when he's dealing with the church or with Gentiles, then he speaks through a Gentile calendar such as our calendar, the Gregorian calendar. So God is not scared of your calendar choices, okay? He can speak through any of them. He created the times and the seasons for us, not the other way around, okay? So how will this affect the overall decade that we just entered? Okay, so we're going to be discussing all of those things, and I believe that this is going to be an actionable word that you can begin to apply to your life today, okay? And I'm a teacher, so I have all my notes ready, so just be prepared. Okay, our main text in this particular podcast will be 2 Chronicles 2020. And you know, a few days before the new year rolled around, you know, I was just sitting here in my bed in my room, not doing anything deep, praying or reading or anything like that. And the Lord just dropped this verse in my spirit, 2 Chronicles 2020. And I'll read it to you now. And it says, "So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Israel. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper.'" And that was a very powerful passage, and I knew immediately that that's what he was saying. This is the word of the Lord for 2020 and beyond, really. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to cancel out any other prophetic words. We know in part, we see in part, we hear in part, we prophesy in part. So you may very well have a part that fits perfectly or overlaps perfectly with this part, okay? So just, you know, test it by your spirit and see if it sits well with you. You know I've discussed it with other people, and just even some of the other prophetic words I've heard for the year and for the decade, it perfectly aligns, okay? Again, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. So let's first look at that word establish. Merriam-Webster has several definitions for it, and it says to institute something such as a law permanently by enactment or agreement, to make firm or stable, to introduce and cause to grow and multiply, to bring into existence, to found, to bring about, to effect, to put on a firm basis, to set up, to put into a favorable position, to gain full recognition or acceptance of, and to put beyond doubt or to prove. So those are some very interesting definitions for the word establish. Some synonyms that you see in the Bible, the Amplified Version and the Wycliffe Version say that if you believe in God, you will be secure. The Common Jewish Bible says you will be safe. The Message says firm. NLT says stand firm. Young's literal translation says you'll be steadfast. NCV says stand strong. MEV says supported. NIV says upheld. NLV says made strong. And TLB says you'll have success. Okay? So basically, what does this mean? It means that establishment deals with your position, okay? So this could be your spiritual position, your earthly position. It means to set you in place. So you could say God is establishing you. You could say God has set you, okay? And this can be in many different areas. So you can be spiritually planted, okay? Isaiah 61:3 says that they may be called trees or oaks, as the ESV version says, of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Isaiah 60 verse 21 says, also your people shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Okay, so we just said you can be spiritually planted. Next, you can be emotionally stable. Okay, Psalm 23 verses 2 and 3. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Psalm 107:9. For he satisfies the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. And your soul can be interchangeable with your heart, deals with your emotions, your mind, your will, and emotions, okay? You can also be mentally sound, okay? That's another way of being established. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and what? A sound mind. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, or established in you, because he trusts in you. Okay? You can be physically healthy. Okay, that's one way of being established. 3 John 1:2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Exodus 15:26 says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Okay, then you can be financially secure. That's another way of being established. And I love this next verse. We're going to talk about this a little bit later. Deuteronomy 8:18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. The word there for wealth in Hebrew is kail. Okay, John Eckhart wrote a book on the kail woman. Pick it up. Okay. Why is he going to say, give you the power to get wealth? So that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then if we hop over to Malachi 3, verses 10 through 12, it says, let's see. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Okay, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Finally, you can be prophetically and legally established, which means you can be proven and you can be justified. It means the word of the Lord over your life can be proven. There's tangible proof and manifestation of that. In a lot of spiritual terms we're going to be discussing, they're actually legal terminologies. Righteousness deals with right standing with God. Right standing with heaven deals with your alignment, okay? You're on the right side of things. You are a law-abiding citizen of the kingdom of heaven, okay? And when you're in that type of position, then the Lord can establish you in this way, in many of the ways we've been discussing. Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. I like the ESV there. It says, this God, his way is perfect, okay? The word of the Lord is what? Proven. He is a shield to all who trust him. Luke 1:45, and I love, love, love this verse. This is from Mary's Magnificat. She's blessing the Lord for her immaculate or divine conception. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. If you're a guy, blessed are you, sir, who believed, because there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told you from the Lord, okay? Habakkuk 2:3, y'all know this. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Why? Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Okay, there's another verse in Isaiah, and this isn't actually in my notes, but it says, so shall be my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will succeed in the thing for which I sent it. It will prosper. It will not return to me void. In Jeremiah 1, it talks about, you know, when you skip down, I forget exactly what verse, maybe 11 or 12, it says, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he says, I see the branch of an almond tree. And he says, you've seen well, for I'm watching over my word to perform it. Now, there's a play on words there. If you know the Hebrew word for almond branch, it's very similar to the word for watching. It means he's diligently watching over his word to prove it. Diligently watching over his word to establish it in your life, in the lives of your spouse, in your children, your family, your ministry, your business, all of those areas, okay? Acts 13:39, and by him, being Jesus, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you. In verse 10, it just listed a whole bunch of sinners that cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay, if you did all those things in verse 10, you can't enter. And then Paul says, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified, that's a legal term, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So God can establish your spiritual position. He can establish you in your emotions. He can establish you mentally. He can establish you physically, financially, and he can establish his word in your life, his word to you, his word to your grandmother. You know, the word of the Lord went to Abraham, but there are some things that were not fully established, tangibly manifested until the life of Isaac, until the life of Jacob, until the life of Joseph and his brothers, okay? But the word of the Lord was true, and it was proven, and it was established, okay? Job says in 22:28, you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. Now, here's some other scriptural examples of establishment from the life of the prophet Samuel. 1 Samuel 3, verses 19 through 21, and this is talking about the child Samuel as he's growing up. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been what? Established as a prophet of the Lord. We know this because the evidence is that none of his words fell to the ground. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And if y'all know the story, at the beginning of 1 Samuel, we see the wicked high priest Eli, his horrible sons Hophni and Phinehas, who were just whoremongin, adulterous, fornicators, whatever. One for sure was married, you know, but just horrible. And the word of the Lord came to the high priest and he didn't listen, but it says that there was a famine of the word of the Lord in those days. Whenever, and this is a whole other topic, I'm not going to go there because I do have a time limit, okay? Actually recorded this already, and this is my second recording of it. But, you know, whenever you see a famine of the word of the Lord, then God sends a very particular type of transitionary prophet, and it's almost always a hybrid. Moses was a hybrid. He was a prophet and he was an apostle. Samuel is a hybrid apostle and prophet. You see, where there's a famine of the word of the Lord, or where there's an abundance of the false prophetic, the Lord says, I have to send in. I have to send in my hybrid. They have to deal with this situation. I have to end this famine. Why? Because I have to establish my word to my people. I have to establish something in this situation that is by heavens or ordination, if you will, okay? In the life of David, 1 Samuel 20, verse 31, I believe this is Saul addressing his son Jonathan, and it says, "For as long as the son of Jesse," which we know is David, "lives on the earth, you will not be established, nor your kingdom. Now therefore send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die," okay? Saul is a little schizo. He's being tormented by God, and he's chiding his son Jonathan for being friends with David and for protecting him, because he's saying, hey, your lineage, your royal lineage, is never going to be established. You are not going to sit on the throne and rule while you over here, you know, supporting your friend David, because the hand of the Lord is on him to establish his kingdom and his royal lineage, okay? 2 Samuel 5:12. "So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel." 2 Samuel 7:12 through 13. "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." 1 Kings 2:12. "Then Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established." So that's kind of repetitive, but it's just telling you it's not just established, it's really established. Okay, there's extra emphasis there. 2 Chronicles 12:1. "Now it came to pass when Rehoboam is the son of Solomon, who is the son of David, okay? "Now it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, then he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him." So what had established his royal lineage, his royal house, he turned on it, okay? And the kingdom was divided in his day because of that, okay? The kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah was created. It wasn't just one nation anymore, okay? Now let's look at some of the Psalms. 7:9. "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God tests the hearts and minds." 42. "He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps." Psalm 89:2. "For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish," or prove, if you will, "in the very heavens." Psalm 90:17. "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. 93 verses 1 through 2. "The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty." The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Okay, "surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved." Okay, that's very imperative right there. If it is established, that is why it cannot be moved. "Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting." Okay, and that's talking about God, of course. Psalm 99:4. "The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob." Psalm 112:8. "His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies." Psalm 119:38. "Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to hearing you." Psalm 140:11. "Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. Now we're going to shift to the Proverbs, okay? The Lord by wisdom founded, keyword, the earth by understanding. He established the heavens. So founding and establishing are interchangeable words. They're synonyms. Proverbs 4:26, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. 12:3, a man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. 12:19, the truthful lips shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. 16:3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Plans are established by counsel. Sorry, this is Proverbs 20:18 now. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. 24:3, through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. 29:4, the king establishes the land by justice, but he who receives bribes overthrows it. And finally, the New Testament, Romans 1:11. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. Romans 16:25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Hebrews 13:9. Do not be carried about with the various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart, your mind, your will, and your emotions be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. 1 Peter 5:10, God of all grace, who calls us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after you have suffered a little while. Pay attention to these next words: perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Okay? May he perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Those are all synonyms for establish, okay? And then finally, 2 Peter 1:12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in this present truth. And now more than ever, we need to be established in present truth, okay? So again, establishing you deals with your position. Could be a natural position, could be a spiritual position, could be any manner of position, okay? President Trump has been established, despite certain proceedings, as the President of the United States of America. The Queen Elizabeth II has been established as the Queen of England, the sovereign of England, okay? There are different types of establishment. I'm trying to think. You can be established as a pastor. You can establish a church. You can establish a building. You can establish a ministry. You can establish a family when you get married, okay? So you can be established in many ways. You can be secure. You can be firm. You can be set in place. You can be planted. That is what God wants to do in your life starting 2020 and beyond. Okay, now we've talked about establishing. We're going to look at the word prosper now, okay? So Merriam-Webster says, prospering is to succeed in an enterprise or activity, especially to achieve economic success, to become strong and flourishing, to cause to succeed or thrive. Synonyms, the Orthodox Jewish Bible says that if you believe the prophets, you will be victorious. The Living Bible says you'll be all right. Message says you'll come out on top. NLV says you will do well. NIV says you will be successful, but several translations, the Amplified, Common Jewish Bible, ESV, ISV, MEV, NASB, NCV and NLT all say that if you believe the prophets, you will succeed. Okay, so that is the number one synonym for prosper in this particular context. Okay, so prosperity deals with your economy. Okay, and yes, there are many areas you can be prosperous, but we're going to hone in on the financial aspect. Okay, again, Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth." Another way we could say that is, it is He who gives you the power to prosper financially, economically, fiscally. Okay, why? That He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And again, John 3:1-2, "Beloved, I pray that you would prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." So you're as believers, because we're talking to believers, or if you are a believer, if you are a believer, because you can be wealthy and not be a believer. You can be wealthy and tithe, you know what I mean, and still not be a believer. You can be wealthy and give offerings and not be a believer. But I'm talking to kingdom people, not just church people, okay? So if you are prosperous as a believer, your prosperity needs to be established in the word of the Lord, in the will of the Lord, okay? You can't just be out here. You know, I kind of joke with my friends, please do not take what I'm about to say seriously, because all of my friends are wonderful, and I like to think I'm a little bit wonderful too, okay? But this is not something we would ever consider. But we joke and say about once a month, we think about being a sugar baby, okay? It's a joke, we're all single, okay? We would never actually do that. Why? Because that would not be establishing our finances in the Lord, being somebody's sugar baby, okay? Going out to find a sugar daddy or a sugar mama if you're a man, okay? That is not a biblical way to go about increasing your finances. And the church said, amen. Okay, moving right along. So we're going to be dealing with prosperity as it pertains to your finances and your resources. Resources don't just have to be monetary. Resources don't just have to be material. Resources can be people, okay? Because there are certain economic doors you can walk through, and you don't get money, you get relationships. You get connections, okay? Disenfranchisement is so, it has so many tendrils, if you will, because it deals with your connections, okay? So it's, and we're not going to get into racial issues and things like that, but just as a quick example, you know, there could be something called nepotism or favoritism and things like that in certain fairer skinned environments, but it's not even like an evil thing. It's just, I know this kid because they're from my neighborhood. I know this young person because they went to my church, because they went to college with my kid. So it's just the environment, okay? It's not even like I'm picking over you because of a skin color or even because your resume is that more fabulous. It's because I have personal references of you. It's because I know people who know you, okay? So who you know is important, okay? That who you know can be a resource. It can also be a liability, but we're talking about resources right now, okay? So we're focusing on prosperity as it pertains to your finances, your resources, and your overall economy. Now we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about the decade of dominion, okay? When I was listening to the word of the Lord that Apostle Brian Meadows gave on New Year's Eve this year, I watched the service online. You can find it at Embassy City International Church on their page on Facebook. One of the things he mentioned for 2020 and beyond was that it was going to be a decade of dominion for the kingdom of God. Now, I looked up the word dominion in Merriam-Webster, and the first word it says is domain. And then it also says that it's law, supreme authority, or sovereignty. It could be dominions, plural, such as in Christianity, an order of angels, or the rulership, or the area, I should say, over which an angel has authority. An example would be that Michael would be over the dominion of Israel, if you will. Michael is the prince of Israel. It also deals with law and absolute Ownership, that's a key word. Now, let me run back to this word domain, the first definition it gave, and I broke that down according to Merriam-Webster, and it says complete and absolute ownership of land. It says land so owned. It says it is a territory over which dominion is exercised, a region distinctively marked by some physical feature, and it also says it's a subdivision of the internet consisting of computers or sites, usually with a common purpose, such as providing commercial information, and denoted in internet addresses by a unique abbreviation such as .com for commercial sites or .government for government sites, okay? So I have a domain name for my website. It's Desiree M. Mondesir. I own that domain. So I own that domain like you could own a piece of land, okay? So those are two different primary types of domains. So domain would be synonymous for dominion. I have dominion over Desiree M. Mondesir, okay? If you own, I'm not talking about mortgage because they can take something from you if it's mortgaged, okay? Certainly if it's rented, but if you own land, if land was left to you in your inheritance, if you bought land with cold hard cash or however you purchased it and it's actually yours outright, then you have dominion, okay, over that particular arena. So we're dealing here with ownership. So my question to you is, what do you own? What do you own, okay? Revelation 11:15 says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. I love that line from the Hallelujah Chorus, not gonna lie. Okay, so when you're dealing with the clash of kingdoms, with kingdom warfare, with the war between the kingdom of hell and the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, okay, that clash comes in two different components, or with two different components, I should say, okay? So there is the people and the souls. Number one, we are warring for people to be saved. The Lord said that he would that none perish, but that all would come to salvation. And then we're warring over territory, actual physical land that the people live on. Okay, so those are two ways we can measure which kingdom is advancing in a particular region, in a particular city, in a particular neighborhood, okay, by in a particular household, if you will, who's saved for real and who's not, okay? What influence are you feeling affected by in that region? That will say a lot. If you own the territory, you have authority and power. Those are not the same words, although they're similar. You have authority and power over what the people who occupy the territory do. You have authority to an extent over how they live, over what is legal and what is not legal, okay? What does that mean? It means you possess the system, okay? So an example, we know America had slavery. America had Jim Crow laws. America had black laws. Okay, America had a whole lot of stuff. Okay, but and so through that means they were able to systematically control ethnic minorities. First, it was the Native Americans, the first people. Then it was the slaves they brought from Africa or from the islands. You know, it was the slaves. Okay, so they had systematic control. And even though everyone in the nation did not agree with slavery or systemic racism, that was the system, okay? That was the system. Now we can flip it. Ancient Israel, okay? They were, I believe the word is a theocracy, okay? They were God's holy people, okay? They were the nation, the third and fourth generations and so forth, of the tribes of Israel, the sons of Jacob, who were the offspring and the seed of Abraham, okay? Everyone was not in agreement with the laws of Moses, okay? But the system, who was in control over that, we said earlier, Michael is the prince of Israel, of the nation, of the people, however you want to word that, okay? That was the system they were under. So guess what? In that Old Testament, it didn't matter what you thought. You still had to live according to that system, okay? Maybe you want to speed, okay? You feel like speeding. Maybe you have a lead foot, But guess what? It doesn't matter how you feel, because the law of the land, the system that is in control, says you cannot drive over a certain limit and be legal. Okay? Doesn't matter how you feel. So it deals with ownership, but it also deals with authority even over those who have ownership, okay? Now, you're really awesome if you have dominion and ownership, okay? So now we're going to look at spiritual warfare again from a different front, okay? It's fought on two different fronts. First, you have the celestial or aerial front, which would be the spiritual, and that is controlled by spiritual technology such as prayer, prophecy, declarations, and decrees. Okay, there are others, but those are the primary ones, okay? Then you also have the other front, which is territorial, meaning the earthly front. So you have the heavenly, celestial, aerial front, okay? That's where you have angels, good and bad, heavenly and demonic. You have the principalities, and these are rankings, like Michael is a prince, just like Lucifer is a prince, okay? So you have principalities, you have rulers, you have spiritual hosts of wickedness, I forget one, powers, okay? So you have principalities, powers, rulers, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places, okay? So that's the aerial front, if you will, or spiritual hosts, I'll just put in a neutral context, okay? Because they could be heavenly hosts, they could be demonic hosts, okay? Then you have territorial, okay? And that is controlled through legal ownership and jurisdiction. So again, if you have ownership of a property, you can control what happens on that property to an extent. Like, you're not gonna be smoking here, you can't drink or get drunk here, you can't do drugs, we're not gonna turn it into a brothel or a trap house or anything crazy like that. We don't want pets. Maybe we do want pets. We're gonna grow maybe some plants in a little garden, whatever, okay? But if you have legal jurisdiction over that land that the person owns, then you can supersede the personal rules and preferences of the owner of that land due to your governmental authority, due to your jurisdiction. So in case you're still wondering what jurisdiction is, just picture Walker, Texas Ranger. Y'all know Chuck Norris, okay? I love Walker, Texas Ranger. Grew up on it, okay? So Walker, Texas Ranger, Cordell Walker, his jurisdiction is the entire state of Texas. So even though he's based in Dallas, he can go to any corner of Texas and arrest somebody and bring justice to a situation in Texas, okay? But he cannot cross the border to Mexico, to Oklahoma, to anywhere else, to Louisiana, unless that the federal government, which is on the national level, has granted him the authority to extend his normal jurisdiction, which is Texas. So the special episodes where we had to go to Mexico or go somewhere else, either he got in trouble, okay, or the federal government decided to back him or actually called him into that situation, okay? So that's, I think, an example most of us can relate to, okay? So another example, like a cop from Charlotte, where I used to live, cannot come to Atlanta and arrest me because he has no jurisdiction here. And the same way, if I go visit Charlotte, if I go visit my dad or something in Charlotte, go see my dog or something, then a cop in Atlanta can't arrest me while I'm in Charlotte because they do not have jurisdiction there, okay? So dominion is a very important concept, and it requires prosperity, okay? Why? So you can have ownership, because if you ain't got no money, you're not going to own something, okay? Whether it's a $10 a year website or it's a million dollar property, okay? You require money and resources to have ownership, okay? And then you require something else. You require delegated authority if you're going to have jurisdiction. Dominion includes both, okay? Caleb had to take a mountain by doing battle. That was the way he did dominion. He didn't have to pay for it. He had to fight for it, okay? But Omri, the father of Ahab, had dominion over a place we now know is called Samaria because he bought a hill and transformed it into an adulterous, mixed culture. And I'm not talking about necessarily interracial, although they were different ethnicities, you know, but interracial from a spiritual standpoint, you know, with Jews and Gentiles, okay? And set up this wicked mixed system of syncretism, bringing in the Phoenicians and the, the Syrians and those from Tyre. So the Syro-Phoenicians, if you will, Jezebel, okay? And he was probably the most wicked king in Israel until his son Ahab came along and set up, you know, and continued to establish his kingdom and his royal household in Samaria, okay? In the nation of Israel, okay? So ownership makes a big deal. Who owns the mountain? Who owns the land? You can truly have dominion when you own it and you have jurisdiction over it, okay? This is part of the Lord establishing us so he can establish you in a governmental sense. He can establish you in a field, in a career field. He can establish you in a family. He can establish you in many ways. And so you should be asking yourself, you know, okay, we talked about what does God want to establish? What do you own? And what is your jurisdiction? Do you even have jurisdiction over anything? If you're a husband, you have jurisdiction over your wife. Yes, I said it. If you are a parent, you have jurisdiction over your children. If you are a matriarch or a patriarch, to an extent, you have some jurisdiction over your family. If you are a pastor, you have jurisdiction over your church. If you're a police officer, you have jurisdiction over the area you have been assigned to, okay? So what is your jurisdiction? Dominion involves both ownership, which can be legal or, you know, monetary. So that means you could buy it or you could inherit it. Okay. You can't steal it because that's not legal. It won't stick. Okay. You can steal it, but it's just not going to be legal. Okay. So, but then it also involves jurisdiction, which is delegated authority. So ownership and jurisdiction. Now we're going to talk about the 2020 numerical breakdown. The number two deals with establishment and confirmation. 2 Corinthians 13:1 says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Deuteronomy 19:15, one witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. Jesus said, if you go to your brother who sinned against you and they don't listen to you one-on-one, then take one or two people with you the second time. Why? Because out of the mouth of every two witnesses, let every word be established. Paul said, you are not to receive an accusation against an elder without two or three witnesses. So this is a concept you see over and over and over in scripture. Okay, so we talked about two. Let's talk about the number 10, because 20 is 10 twice over. Okay, 10 deals with order and government and balance. Okay, Moses chose elders in increments, he chose elders to be over the people of Israel and placed them over tens and increments of tens. So he had rulers over a thousand or thousands, he had rulers over hundreds, he had rulers over 50s, and he had rulers over tens. Okay, and then when you really got up there, then you brought it to him. Okay, the Ten Commandments. The tabernacle was furnished, it was designed, and the furnishings inside of it was done in measurements, and increments of tens. Okay, the Day of Atonement, which deals with fasting, putting your body in check, in order, bringing some balance to some areas, bringing some mental and spiritual clarity, emotional clarity. It is on the 10th day of the 7th month, okay? The tithe, which brings order to your finances and honors God, is 10%. A person born out of wedlock, along with their descendants, could not enter the assembly of the Lord under Mosaic law until after the 10th generation. Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, committed a horrible, wicked act very similar to what the men of Sodom and Gomorrah were trying to do to the angels that were visiting Lot's house, okay? The men of Israel were picked in increments of 10 to go and do battle against Benjamin. So it says 10 out of every 100 men, 100 out of every 1,000 men, and 1,000 out of every 10,000 men were selected to do battle against the tribe of Benjamin to put them in check, to bring government, to bring jurisdiction to their sin. Okay. 10, armor bearers of Joab killed Absalom. They brought order to a situation of this, literally this Jezebelic Absalomic character who is trying to usurp the throne from David. David actually also left 10 concubines at his palace to keep the house in order while he was on the run from Absalom. Solomon's temple, just like the tabernacle, was built and furnished with measurements in tens and increments of 10. And when Daniel saw the fourth beast, and when we see the beast again in the book of Revelation in chapter 17, the beast had 10 horns, which represent 10 kings, which deal with the order of the beast, the order of the Antichrist, okay? 2 times 10 is 20, as we know. So the number 20, if you will, is a confirmation of the number 10. 2020 is a confirmation of 20. So this is literally confirmation on top of confirmation on top of confirmation, okay? 2020 is a year of confirmation and manifestation. It deals with the establishment of the word of the Lord. Genesis 41:32, and I love this verse. It says, "And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will bring it to, he will shortly bring it to pass." Okay, let me read that again. "The dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." Joseph was telling Pharaoh that he had two different dreams. He said the dream was repeated, but actually it was two different dreams with the same theme. Okay, first it was the cows, or one of them was the cows, and then the other one was the corn, and it was dealing with a confirmation that there were going to be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine, and we need to be proactive to deal with this, okay? So the prophetic word went forth. Now we need a word of wisdom, okay? That's a different teaching for a different day, okay? So 2 is establishing order. So 20 is establishing order, okay? So in 2020 and beyond, God wants to establish order in his children, okay, in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our churches, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our cities, in our states, in our nations, in the church at large, and in, yes, even the world itself. The kingdoms of the world should become the kingdoms of our Lord and of our Christ. That is not something that we have to wait until the millennial reign to see. We do not have to wait until the new Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth to see that, although it will never be complete. That's why we have things such as sheep nations and goat nations, sheep states and goat nates. I'm sure you could, or goat states, you could kind of guess which is which depending on some circumstances, okay? So God wants to establish the tangible manifestation of his word in every area of your life. He wants to bring kingdom order to every area of your life. He wants to bring kingdom prosperity to every area of your life, okay? This is not the prosperity that comes with sorrow. The word says that the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and add no sorrow, okay? This is not prosperity through ill gain. This is not prosperity that makes you your stomach churn and makes you fear and dread going to work every Sunday night, you know what I mean? And so that's not Jesus, okay? That's not the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. That's stress, okay? And it's eating away at your stomach, okay? What God wants to do is from his kingdom. So now we're going to have a moment of reflection and action, and this is where we can really start doing something with the word. Hopefully you've been taking notes, or we'll re-listen to this and take notes. But number one, in what areas does God want to establish his kingdom order in your life? Just jot those down. Number two, what is one area of your life where you can begin to establish kingdom order? So maybe it's your closet. Like, you guys have probably seen that meme circulating, you know, in 2020, I'm going to start hanging my clothes back up on the hangers, you know, after I try them on. Maybe you have a closet, like in your hallway, or maybe a room, like a junk room or something that's out of order. Maybe you want to Marie Kondo the mess out of it, you know, literally, okay? Maybe your car is out of order. Maybe it looks like a junk heap inside of your car. Maybe your garage is crazy. Maybe your weight is at a place you never thought it would be, you know? Maybe your marriage, maybe your relationship with your kids or your spouse or your friend is at a place that needs some work. Just what is one simple area? Don't be like super adventurous and list five. You know, just start with one. What is one area where you personally can begin to establish God's kingdom order in that situation? And then finally, how does this word confirm or add to the other words of the Lord for 2020 you've heard? And don't come to me talking about vision, okay? You did not require an angel or a rhema or a prophetic word to hear about vision in 2020, okay? That's a colloquialism we understand in the Western world, at least. 2020 deals with perfect vision, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's the word of the Lord, okay? I'm not gonna knock it, but it's not super deep either, okay? But just like I heard the prophetic word from Apostle Brian Meadows a couple days after the Lord dropped something in my spirit, it confirmed he also dealt with God establishing masculinity, okay? We've heard a lot about toxic masculinity. I think we're going to start hearing about toxic femininity that sort of is a threat. And yes, I said it. Toxic femininity is a threat to true, authentic, godly masculinity. So he was talking about how God wants to establish the man. He wants to establish husbands. He wants to establish true fatherhood. Because, you know, when you establish the man, everything else is going to fall in place. Everything else. He actually, and I would have personally chosen different wording, but he said that the decade was going to belong to the man. Again, I personally would have chosen different wording, but far be it for me to correct the man of God. You know, that's how he heard it. That's how he received it. But again, it just means God is going to establish the man. He's going to establish the man, because if he can establish the man, everything else, relations with women, relations with children, the workplace, equal pay, all of that will fall in place when we get some real godly men in mass, acting how they should, living how they should, treating women, interacting with women how they should. Okay, so in closing of this, our inaugural pilot episode, if you will, thank you so much for listening to my very first podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't tell you what it means. Second, I would love to invite you to connect with me. Go to DesireeAndMondesir.com and subscribe to my e-blast. You'll get a free book of mine. I believe right now it's The Origin of Demons. You'll get that for free if you subscribe. Connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, and Periscope. I go live frequently on Periscope. And so that is at DesireeAndMondesir. You can connect with me on Twitter as well. It's at Desiree Mondesir, no middle initial. Okay, apparently my name was too long. Please contact me if this resonated with you. So hopefully you've been tweeting or posting and using the hashtag The Desiree Show. But, you know, you can contact me through my contact page on my website or on Facebook and Instagram and let me know what you thought about this episode, okay? Then share this with someone. Share this in your timeline. Tweet it out. Post it on Facebook. Screenshot it on Instagram. Put it in your stories. Let somebody know that there is a new podcast that you're going to be tuning into in 2020. And then finally, favorite my podcast and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. I would really appreciate it. I'm really excited about this new particular project. I'm going to try to post new episodes on every Tuesday of the week. And I'm going to be safe and say I'm going to do a minimum of 12 episodes in a season. It's probably going to be much longer, but I'm just going to be very safe and say a minimum of 12 episodes. But I look forward to coming to you again next week. Take care, be blessed, and really think about what 2020 means for you in your life, okay? Bye-bye.